Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very senior and accomplished professional from Austin, Texas, USA, Mr. Joshua Miller. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. Josh is a master certified executive and personal coach, and he's an author. And all of you know, I'm very partial to authors. He's author of a book titled, I Call Bullshit, Live Your Life, Not Someone Else's.
Yes.
So Josh, let's start with something I read about you, which is that you speak about upgrading leaders' mindset, skill set, plus performance.
Yes.
So they lead with purpose.
Yes.
Please explain these three terms with some examples of what you're doing.
Sure. So skill set, mindset, and purpose are three critical components or foundational pieces that every leader right now must embody, embrace, and enrich themselves.
Right.
We're living in very uncertain times, right? We have a looming recession, there's quiet quitting, there's, you know, the gig economy. And right now, what we're seeing and what I'm noticing working with Fortune 100 leaders across the world is that there is a gap between the leaders who are upskilling and upgrading the way in which they are developing themselves, both in their hard soft skills, as well as their mindset and behaviors. And then there are the leaders who are still struggling. These are the pre-pandemic leaders who have not fully realized, actualized within themselves that the landscape of leadership has changed. Now, what hasn't changed is that leadership is based on a variety of skill sets. So when I personally talk about that, anybody and everyone is a leader. There's just a degree of leadership because you can teach the skills, you can learn the skills to develop the mindset necessary to then embody those in real time. There are leaders right now who are paving the way with their companies and with their people and their employees and building cultures in this new hybrid world, but they're doing it successfully with the right skills, such as empathy, innovation, creativity, critical thinking, active listening. They're mitigating their biases. They are then taking that, putting their purpose. What is their purpose for leader? What is their purpose for leading right now in this world?
Right.
Combining those two. And what you have all is a high level of productivity, output, and performance. And the leaders that are doing that right now are successful in retaining and maintaining a culture that's thriving. And you have employees who are engaged.
And conversely, the leaders who have not really got their act together, so to speak, pandemic, what are some of the gaps that they are grappling with?
I think the biggest one that I see is a lack of emotional intelligence. Overall, there is an inability, a disconnect to understand, empathize, or even sympathize with the people who are following them, with their employees, with their board members, with their shareholders. It's almost as if they've been stuck in time, insulated, in 2019 or early 2020. And so a lack of empathy, a lack of self and social awareness, the inability to connect, the inability to collaborate, the inability to be inclusive. I mean, these are just one block after another that's building a wall that's keeping these individuals from connecting and moving forward.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So moving on now to you as a coach, let me start by asking you, after a successful corporate career, what made you decide to become a coach?
So in my book, I talk about this. And so I fell into coaching, literally and figuratively. I was working in a very successful, high-paying job in advertising as a VP at this large global company. And I was in my early 20s and I was miserable. And, you know, they call it a quarter life crisis. I was that person that didn't want to go to work on Saturday. I was worried about Sunday. Sunday, I was worried about Monday. And I didn't realize how much it was eroding my soul, my spirit. And one day I was leaving work and I bumped into somebody, and I grew up in New York City. So bumping into people is just kind of it's an everyday occurrence. But for some reason, I lost my footing. I fell to the ground. And long story short, this individual of 8 million people in all of New York City on a Friday afternoon was a coach. She was an executive coach for Deloitte, of all the people. And she said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Sure." And I didn't realize the extent that I was kind of out of it and confused. Mm-hmm. I started talking to this individual, and it was this one conversation, this one instance that led me to discover what coaching was all about.
Wow.
And I've not looked back since. Mm-hmm. I believe that that was just kind of a destiny or divine intervention. What I found in coaching was my purpose. Mm-hmm. And I talk about purpose a lot with people. I think, you know, don't focus on the money, the title, all that stuff will come. Mm-hmm. And it'll come quicker if you really understand what is your purpose? What do you want to do in life? What are you great at? What lights you up? Mm-hmm. And as soon as I understood what coaching was, I gravitated to it immediately. Mm-hmm. And I haven't looked back 23 plus years later. It's a gift to be able to work with individuals on a daily basis. They allow you into their lives, into their minds, into their hearts, and you enable them to see things differently. So they get out of their way, they identify their blind spots, and they can move forward with passion, right? And purpose. Mm. And that's why I coach. That's why I look every day, wake up, and I'm excited. It's a different day.
Correct.
And I don't look back. But I will say, though, that my time in the corporate America has enabled me to be a better coach, because I understand how corporate America works, right? And I talk a lot about this with other coaches who don't come from a more traditional corporate background, whatever industry. And oftentimes when they then go consult into that world, they struggle a bit because they don't have that connectivity or the experience. So anyone who's listening, what I would offer up is that whether you want to be a coach or not, that's one whole thing. Always look to leverage what experience you had as it relates to where you are and where you want to go. So important. Something we can all do. Yeah.
Fascinating. So, you know, when I started work in the early 80s, coaching or mentoring was done either by a family elder.
Sure.
Or by a senior colleague who took a liking for you.
Yeah.
What has changed, Josh, in the last 3-4 decades that coaching has become so formalized and people are willing to pay for it?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I remember the days and the times where if you needed a mentor, you know, coaching was not as formalized, right? So let's just a quick lesson in coaching. Coaching has been around in some form since the mid 70s. Mm-hmm. And coaching, what people don't realize is coaching is basically the best components of three different modalities: sports coaching, therapy, and motivational speaking. Mm-hmm. Take the three best components of those. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what coaching is.
Correct.
Now, coaching started to take off in a more constructive, formalized kind of organizational business in the 80s and then obviously into the 90s. And as it's taken off, what's happened is that people have conflated what coaching is versus mentoring versus being a consultant versus giving direction. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting when you bring up that in the past it was find a mentor, I'll help you. That still exists. Mm-hmm. Formalized mentoring is brilliant. And some people need that. Mm-hmm. Other people need therapy. Some people need a consultant that's going to tell them what to do from their experience. Other people need coaching. Mm-hmm. I think what I've seen, one of the biggest spikes in coaching was in 2007 and 8, when the economy, we get into a recession. A lot of people started to, and to this day, they reinvented themselves. Mm. There was a lot of HR people, a lot of business people that caught on to the word coach. Mm. And for the 4 or 5 years after that, you had a lot of people, wellness coach, life coach, business coach, everything. They just added the word coach to it. What I've seen in the last 10 years now is that a lot of the people that kind of jumped on the wagon of being a coach have jumped off the wagon. The ones that are accredited, that have stuck with it, are still practicing. They're still around. But I do believe very strongly, by the way, mentoring is an excellent option for people, depending on their situation, what they're looking for. Yeah, it's a great question.
Great response. Thank you. So, you know, you said that you have you understand the corporate world. So my next question to you is, how has your background supported your coaching philosophy, your style, and your values?
It's a great question. So my philosophy, my style, and my values. My philosophy is to meet people where they are, but only to after you understand where they want to go. The values piece is really important to me. I think you have to understand what makes people tick, what motivates them. As a coach, I'm innately curious. So I ask a lot of questions. That's part of the job. And it's also just part of who I am. And part of that kind of journey is to understand what are personal beliefs and values of an individual. It's important to know that. Oftentimes, we don't know what our own beliefs or values are. So why is that important? How does that translate? Working in corporate America, every company has a set of values, mostly. Maybe a vision, maybe a mission, but they have a set of values. Some companies really embody those values. Other ones just put it on a sheet of paper and stick it on the wall, and nobody lives it. So understanding what values mean in the corporate world is important. Understanding personal values is critical. Now, how do they come together? Oftentimes what happens when working with individuals is they're not happy or they're frustrated. The reason they're frustrated oftentimes is because their values don't match the values of the company. And that is the conversation that I will jump into with that individual to navigate and understand, can we make your core beliefs and values match this company's? If not, maybe it's not a good partnership or relationship. So that's that piece of it. Does that help answer the question?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. My next question, Yash, is about the people in your life. How have they shaped you and influenced you as a coach today?
Tremendously. I keep a very close network. And contrary to what a lot of people may think, I don't talk a lot about my personal life publicly. I tend to keep these two things separate, and that's intentional. I have a very close network of people that support me. I've had a coach for 20 years, family, friends, my wife, my kids. I really pay close attention, and I'm intentional to ensure that everyone who's in my circle is also in my corner. Everyone who's in my network is supporting me, rooting for me, championing for me. I think it's really important to create that kind of network as you get older and as you're looking to play a bigger game in life.
Very interesting. The next question is on culture.
Sure. You know,
the U.S. is an amazingly multicultural, diverse country. And yet, you know, people from different cultures seem to think of coaching in different ways.
Sure.
There are lots of people I meet who say, let my work do my talking. There are some who can't stop talking about what they are doing. There are some who want to, who say, you know, bottle up all their challenges inside. Some talk about it.
Sure.
My question to you is, how does culture impact coaching?
It's a great question. So I've been fortunate to work with and coach people from India to Indiana, you know, and what I've learned is that when you're working with somebody whose cultural background influences them to in a way where they're not comfortable speaking about their accomplishments, right? That's not what they do. Or their beliefs have driven them in their character where they don't, they're not as proactive. They will not speak up in service of what they need because they believe culturally for some reason that if you do a good job, you'll be noticed and then you'll move up in the world or things of that nature.
Right.
So it's really important, especially now in the world we're living in, to identify when you're working with an individual as a coach or in general, when you're speaking with somebody, understanding the norms as well as the nuances of where they're from. What is their cultural background? What is their belief system? What are their values? Because that will drive their behavior. It will drive their conversation. It will drive their actions. And as a coach, it's our job and it's my job to do my homework, to do my due diligence, to understand when working with an individual, a company, or a team, what are the things that they will respond to? What are the things that are off limits? So I think it's a brilliant question. I think cultural sensitivity and inclusivity goes hand in hand with collaboration and community.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I've got two more questions for coaching before I move to your book.
Yeah, of course.
What are some of your own unique perspectives, or what is your secret sauce that you bring to a coaching relationship?
Be yourself.
Okay.
Be yourself and trust the process. Mm-hmm. Easier said than done. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. And as a coach, what I've learned in my training and what I found in working with other coaches is that you will only be as good as you believe you are.
Yeah.
And you can only get as close to someone as you will allow yourself to be close to yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. So the amount of intimacy, vulnerability, connectivity that you can bring to yourself inward translates to the person that you're working with. Mm-hmm. So when I say be yourself, that's a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. But don't try to be someone else. Don't try to be a different coach. Don't try to emulate somebody, because then it's inauthentic.
Yeah.
And people will pick up on that. Mm-hmm. And then trusting the process. As a coach, we have an idea. Coaches have an idea. They may use a model, a framework. They know where they want to take the conversation. Mm. But it, as is life, nothing is a straight line. Mm. Things tend to move in zigzags. So trust the process that it's a dance. And when you're working with somebody, they may be right with you, and then they may be over here, and you have to move. That's trusting the process. Mm. So be yourself, trust the process.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
My next question is about, you know, the people who all of us interact with. And now this is the age of the millennials and the Gen Z leaders.
Yes, of course.
They're getting into positions of authority and leadership.
Yeah.
And they bring a breath of fresh air into most organizations. And I personally am from the baby boomers generation.
Sure, sure.
My question to you, Josh, is what is the difference in coaching young leaders like the millennials and the Gen Zs and older leaders?
So I would say the biggest difference, generationally speaking, is how they were raised, right? So there's a vast difference in decades between, you know, millennials and Gen Z, baby boomers, and so on and so forth. The younger generations today have grown up with technology everywhere. So they are accustomed to getting information very quick and oftentimes with the lowest barrier of entry, right? So their ability enables their inability to critically think, analyze, and be strategic in the way that older generations had to learn, right? You had to learn how to seek something out, how to communicate, how to write. Nowadays, younger generations, it's text, it's emojis, it's 140 characters or less to get their point across. It's Zoom, it's Slack, it's online, whereas it used to be more in person, right? And so that's the way technology is moving cultures. That's the way we are moving as a society. And understanding how to work with, speak to, and that's the other thing, you have to speak the language. You have to use terms and phrases and make metaphors and analogies and connections that generations, generationally speaking, will understand.
Well said.
So they are very quick to know the answers, but not always willing to justify and dig deep as to how they got the answers. So part of my job as a coach, I've found, is to align with somebody, as always, and then probe and question and engage to understand, how did you arrive at that answer? And some generations will tell you, I did this 20-step process. Other generations, younger generations, will say, I Googled it.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Josh, now let's move to your book.
Sure.
Title is I Call Bullshit, Live Your Life with Someone Else's.
Yes.
Tell me about your book. But before that, tell me, is it available on Amazon and other platforms?
Yes, it's available on Amazon. It's Kindle. There's an audio version. I did the audio version myself. Mm-hmm. So it's my voice. And the book. So the story, the origin behind my book is that I was offered to write a book 2 years prior to when I did, and I turned it down. It was a publishing, large publishing firm. And they thought I was crazy. And they said, why? And I said, well, because you want me to write a book on leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that I can add a new lens to what's already out there. Mm-hmm. As you can see behind my head, I've got mm-hmm. tons of books on leadership. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so why do I need to write another book?
Mm-hmm.
And I closed that chapter, no pun intended, and I moved on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward a couple of years, I'm walking through Barnes and Nobles, and I see all these kind of self-help, personal development books.
Mm-hmm.
And something just triggered me. And I said, okay, it's time for me to write a book. Because I'm reading stuff that I know either I know the same or more about. Why shouldn't I put my voice out there?
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote my book in my car. A lot of people don't know this.
Wow.
It took me, I don't know, probably 3 to 4 months
mm-hmm.
of just sitting in my car in traffic every day. I would, this is when I was living in California. Mm-hmm. So for listeners, okay. If you live in California, you're going to be stuck in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be stuck in traffic for 3 hours at a time. And mm-hmm. I would pull out my computer or my notepad and I would start writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally don't believe that people, this is not a self-help book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a self-awareness book.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe people need help.
Yeah,
I really don't. I mm-hmm. think people are fine. What they need is more awareness around how they're showing up. From mm-hmm. there, they can work on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the term self-help is not a term that I personally favor.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, oh, you wrote a self-help book, it's not a self-help book. It's a self-awareness book.
Mm-hmm.
What I've done is I've taken over the 20 years of my working with individuals.
Mm-hmm.
What are the core basic concepts, strategies, tools to better yourself in mm-hmm. certain areas to be a better human, a better version of you?
Mm.
That's what my book was all about. The title is me calling people out in service of stop trying to be somebody else. Stop mm-hmm. being inauthentic. Don't emulate yeah. somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Take the time and live your life. Figure out, go on your own journey mm. and figure out who you can be. Mm. That was the impetus of why I did my book. And I enjoyed it. I loved it.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you.
And my last question to you, Josh.
Yeah.
And this is for the many people who will listen to our conversation.
Yes.
You had an amazing journey and you know, highly respected coach.
Yeah.
What would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from your own journey and from our conversation?
Yep. The first is embrace being scared.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to run into challenges.
Yeah.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
And what I always tell people is obstacles are just opportunities in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
So when you shift your mindset, embrace the challenge, yeah. see the obstacles and opportunity. That's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
The second is raise your hand, raise your voice and ask for support.
Yeah.
Too often people give up in silence.
Yeah.
Versus speaking up.
Mm.
And the third is surround yourself with people that want you to win in life.
Mm.
I see people with the best of intentions, the greatest concepts, tons of money, and they fail. And why do they fail? Or one of the reasons they fail is because they surrounded themselves with the wrong group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that the people around you are rooting for you.
Mm.
Those are three lessons. There's more, but those are three that come to my
fabulous,
head.
Fabulous.
Great question.
Josh, on that note and your three amazing lessons, embrace
sure.
being scared, obstacles are only opportunities, ask for support,
yes.
and the third one, be with people who want you to win. Thank
yes.
you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for
Thank
talking
you.
To me about coaching, about different perspectives that you bring to coaching. Thank you also for speaking to me about your book. And,
sure.
You know, I loved your comment, be yourself and trust the process.
Yes.
Thank you again absolutely. For speaking to me and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.